My name is Robert Hennick. I represent Jerry Pete on this appeal. Probably the better part of valor would be for me to just sit down and shut up.
I'll ask you a question.
I was hoping that could.
You came along with, oh dear. Even if we ruled on your favor on count four here, would Mr. Pete's sentence be affected? Because he still has concurrent sentences of 188 months on the three drug counts.
The direct effect of me succeeding in the long shot that it is, the direct effect would be reducing the supervised release from 5 years to 3 years, which is still a substantial change, and I think sufficient for jurisdiction in this court.
Mm-hmm.
That plus $100.
Plus $100, yes. If I am successful on the first argument as opposed to the second argument.
Right.
I guess one thing that I would ask the court to look at, I know that these have been, these issues have already been looked at ad nauseum. The cases, at least that I have seen, and by the way, I am not familiar with Martin. I was familiar with Bell. I shepherdized Bell. It didn't say that, I found nothing that suggested that Bell had been overruled.
It hasn't. Bell's substantive holding is still the law of the circuit. It's been repeated many times.
Yes.
But the conclusion that failing to make out the commerce element of a federal statute is jurisdictional was overruled by Martin.
Okay, and when I key-cited that on Westlaw, that didn't come up, and I apologize for that. That was as recently as Sunday I made that effort.
We'll have to send a nasty note to Shivers West or somebody.
This would be West, and I think it would be appreciated by those of us on this side of the bench. But as for the jurisdictional issue, the only thing that I would ask the court to look at is in Lopez, when the court indicated that a jurisdictional element would be sufficient. What it referred to is a jurisdictional element which would be sufficient on a case-by-case basis to establish a substantial effect of the possession on interstate commerce. Our position, and all I'm going to do is state it, is that because...
No, get me wrong, there's absolutely nothing wrong with stating it. I mean, this is a position that I assume the Supreme Court will take very seriously. Whether there's a commerce problem in this statute, whether Scarborough should be overruled, and so on. It's just that we've decided it, but you're perfectly entitled to preserve these points.
Well, my request would be that the court pass it on to an en banc panel, which I don't know if the en banc panel has already decided, although given the number of judges who have sat on panels which unanimously have decided against me, I think my chances there are rather slim.
Mm.
But in Lopez, the jurisdictional element was focusing on not whether there was some minimal nexus with commerce, which is what this prior passing through state lines or across state lines establishes, but rather there has to be a substantial effect on interstate commerce. And I don't believe that I haven't seen
what they said in Lopez is that the class of activities has to have a substantial effect on interstate commerce.
Yes.
The activity in a particular case need not. They didn't overrule Wickard against Filburn. That's the whole point. If the class of growing wheat substantially affects interstate commerce, one farmer's wheat can be regulated even though it's trivial in the flow of commerce. So one would ask whether the class of interstate gun transactions by felons affects commerce, not whether your client's gun substantially affected
commerce. I don't believe that's technically correct. It's not the class of interstate possessions by felons, but the class of possessions by felons where the gun previously at some point, it could have been 50 years earlier, somebody else took it across state lines. And I think that's the more direct question here, mm-hmm. is whether that class has a substantial effect on interstate commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And this court already has ruled on that. I believe that's wrong, and we will be raising it with the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. I'm sure, after we hear very soon from this court.
I take it. Yes, as you'll be asking the Supreme Court to overrule Almendarez-Torres as well, another thing our grade level.
Although that particular case, the suggestions are that we have five justices already on that, but this court can't count noses.
No, and I wouldn't count any Almendarez-Torres Torres knows this, if I were you, the Supreme Court this morning, by a vote of 9-0, reversed United States against Cotton and held that any Apprendi issue not properly raised at trial is gone, gone, gone.
And does that include ones that when Apprendi was not even decided until 11
That's
days
correct.
After? I'll have to read that. Thank you very much.
9-0, written by the Chief Justice. Thank you very much, Mr. Hennick. Ms. O'Neill.
May it please the Court. My name is Erica O'Neill, and I represent the United States. I was not counsel of record in the case below. I have the dubious honor this morning of falling on the sword twice, once for not recognizing United States versus Martin, and also for a factual error in our brief. As the defendant pointed out, the correct sentence for Mr. Pete was, in fact, 188 months, not 180 months, as noted in the government's brief. The government notes that the defendant has attempted to preserve these both of these issues for review before the Supreme Court, but does believe that the case law at this time is against the defendant. If the court does not have any questions.
Oh, I do, of course. He's traveled the long way, too. I want to know what your best argument is that Mr. Pete intentionally relinquished a known right on his Section 924 issue, because to me it just seemed like simple neglect.
Yes, Your Honor, it certainly could appear to be neglect, except that the defendant affirmatively agreed in his plea agreement that he is, in fact, an armed career criminal. He did not need to make that agreement in his plea agreement to successfully plead guilty to the 922G charge, but did, in fact, affirmatively agree that not only was he guilty of the 922G charge, but that he is, in fact, an armed career criminal. In this case, the government will rest on its written submission and ask to be excused. Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Hennick? Mr. Hennick, we appreciate your willingness not only to come the distance, but also to accept the appointment and the service you've been to your client and the court. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement.